Well, good evening. We are off to a great beginning. We'll do a quick poll, right? How many of you are current on your daily Bible reading? That's wonderful. Stick with it now. We've only got 51 weeks left to have read through the entire Bible by the end of the year. I'm proud of you for starting it up again. We've started Genesis. Very quickly, we move past creation, past the flood story, and we're into an introduction to Abraham. And there is an obscure character. We mostly point to him as a bad example that kind of lived in the shadow of Abraham. And I'm talking about his nephew, Lot. I want you to go back with me to Genesis chapter 13. We're going to take a look at Lot this evening, who's truly a man who lived in the shadows. He lived in the shadow of Abraham. He lived in the shadow of the city walls of Sodom. He was a man just pretty much overshadowed by the events and circumstances of his life. We don't think about him very much. And when we do, we assume that there's something terribly wrong with Lot. He's a bad guy somehow. The truth of the matter is, though, if you go over to 2 Peter and look in 2 Peter, Peter says he was a righteous man. You know, Lot didn't like what was going on either. He was a righteous man. And I couldn't get past that statement that Lot was a righteous man. So as I went back and I took a look at this story about Lot in Genesis chapter 13, chapter 14, we meet up with him again in chapter 18, chapter 19. I had to keep in my mind that Lot was considered to be a righteous man. And it turns out that whatever you can say about Lot, or nearly everything that you can say about Lot, you can also say about Abraham. You say about Lot, well, he was very self-interested. You know, he saw the well-watered plain down there of the Jordan, and he said, well, I'll take that land. But you know what? Abraham was very self-interested, too. He went down to Egypt and hoodwinked Pharaoh. Pharaoh gave him a bunch of bribes to get him out of town. You think Abraham gave them back? Not a chance. Put them in his pocket and went home. You say Lot was comfortable living with the local people of Sodom? Yes, he was. But you know what? Abraham made an alliance with the Amorites. It plainly says about Mamre, Eshcol, and Aner, they were Amorites, and Abraham made an alliance with them. So Abraham was comfortable living with people in that same situation. What made the difference, I really think, in the lives of Abraham and Lot, and honestly, I'm willing to be persuaded on this, I'm willing to be taught, because I can't say this for sure, but it seems to me, on the basis of my reading and study, it seems to me the thing that made the difference between Lot and Abraham was that Lot made some assumptions about his life that just turned out not to be true. He just assumed some things that turned out to be false. And one of the first things that I think you can say, he assumed that his life would be a whole lot better with a whole lot more stuff. He thought that more possessions make his life a good life. I want you to take a look at chapter 13, Genesis chapter 13 and verse 10. We don't have time to deal with all of this section and all the things that are going on. In Genesis chapter 13, verse 10, Abraham went to Lot and said, we got to split up. Our possessions are just too much. You've got to go someplace. And he says, if you go to the left, I'll go to the right. Whatever way you choose is fine with me. And Lot, look at verse 10 here, Lot looked up and saw that the whole plain of the Jordan was well watered, like the garden of the Lord, like the land of Egypt toward Zoar. This was before the Lord destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah. Now maybe Lot liked luxury and easy living. And where did he learn that kind of life? Well, in chapter 12, Lot went down to Egypt with Abraham. And maybe it was down there that he saw, these people have it pretty good, you know. The climate is good and the water is always here in the Nile River. Maybe he liked luxury and easy living and living where people lived in houses and not in tents. Maybe he thought a house was much better deal than living in tents. He just thought his life, maybe he just thought his life would be better with better stuff, with more possessions. That's a very common human failing. There are a lot of people who believe that wealth is the most important thing in life, and sometimes it leads to crime, and we can point to the stories in the newspaper about that. But always, in every case, it leads to really twisted values. And people begin to treasure things that aren't worth having and begin to despise things that are of surpassing value. It leads to really twisted values. Fascinating book I read years ago, and I've referenced it several times, The Millionaire Next Door. Fascinating book. It's about real millionaires, people who earn their money. And it revealed a lot of interesting attitudes. Most of millionaires who actually have earned $1 million, they really aren't focused on money. That's one of the ways they get it. They're really not focused on it. It's not the primary mover in their lives, and they're not great lovers of luxury. Jesus had some words to say on the same score in Luke chapter 12 and verse 15. Some people were fussing among themselves, and they came to Jesus, and one of them said, "Tell my brother to share the inheritance with me." And Jesus' reply in Luke 12 is, who made me a judge over you?" And then he said, "Be on your guard." Luke chapter 12, verse 15. "Be on your guard against all kinds of greed. A man's life does not consist in the abundance of his possessions." A good life is not built on good stuff. A good life is built on a good relationship with God. I think that one of the assumptions that Lot made was that his life would be a lot better if he had better stuff. And if he lived in a more kind of upscale neighborhood, you know, things would be better for him if he lived down there where the grass was good and the water was clear and people lived in houses rather than tents. I think he figured his life would be easy. In fact, he lost everything there, didn't he? I think Lot assumed also that he could remain righteous while living next door to sin. Same chapter, skip down to verse 13. "Now the men of Sodom were wicked and were sinning greatly against the Lord." Now skip down to verse 18 and see Abraham before his name is changed. "So Abram moved his tents and went to live near the great trees of Mamre at Hebron, where he built an altar to the Lord." See, his focus is on worshiping God, remaining faithful to God, and doing His will. Lot, on the other hand, Lot thinks he can maintain his righteousness and maintain his faith in the midst of a very sinful group of people. Now, Lot didn't participate in the sins of Sodom. No. He didn't do that. And Peter reminds us that he was vexed in his soul. He hated being there. He hated seeing what they were doing there. He didn't like that culture at all. But all of it affected his family. And ultimately, of course, he lost his daughters over that. I think there are a lot of people who believe that they're just unaffected by their culture. There are a lot of people here who think, you know, we're just unaffected. We have the ability to distance ourselves from our culture and not participate in the same kinds of sins that people around us do. And we once in a while, people will gripe about the things that are on television. And the standard response from Hollywood is always, "Well, turn it off. Well, just turn it off. You don't want to watch it, you don't have to. Just turn it off." Read an article years ago after the Jonesboro, Arkansas shootings where school children were shot dead because these two kids watched a lot of violent TV and played violent video games, these rehearsal games where they teach you how to shoot and kill people in these video games. And the guy who wrote that article that I read said their parents would love to turn it off. They can't turn it off. Because it's with them every day now. We can't pretend that we're unaffected by our culture. We are absolutely affected by our culture. And we have to fight against these attitudes that are all around us. Young people typically think that culture, whatever is around them, is normal. That's the way it's supposed to be. And we need to remind people that that's not the way it's supposed to be. Paul had a word to say about this, kind of a proverbial statement. 1 Corinthians 15:33, you know it. Bad company corrupts good character. Bad company corrupts good character. We're influenced by people who are around us. And that's one of the reasons why we need to be in the church family. That's one of the reasons why we need to assemble, why we need to come to Bible class, why we need to be around people of like precious faith, as the old version says. We need the influence of godly people around us. It's very, very important to us. I think Lot assumed that he could just be untouched by the sin that was around him, thought he could get by with it. But it turned out not to be so. His family was lost. One of the most interesting assumptions that I think Lot made I think he assumed that he was a partner in God's covenant with Abraham. You know, God had made a covenant with Abraham. And I think Lot enjoyed so many of the blessings that kind of came to Abraham. He got rich. And that's one of the reasons why they had to part, because their possessions had just gotten too large. The flocks were running over each other, and their herdsmen were fighting with each other, and they, you know, we got to do something about this. Lot had gotten rich as long as he stayed with Abraham. As long as he stayed near Abraham, everything went good for him. Even when that warfare broke out and he was taken captive and drawn away, it was Abraham and his men who came and rescued, delivered Lot and the rest of the people of Sodom and brought them back and made sure that all their property was restored. So I think Lot just kind of assumed that everything was working well for him. He's in the covenant with God just like Abraham was, because he's wonderfully blessed just like Abraham was. He's delivered and cared for just like Abraham was. But the reality is, Lot, watch this, Lot never made a covenant with God. It was Abraham who made the covenant with God. We never see anything about Lot making a covenant with God. The terrible thing is, there are a lot of people today who think that they are just fine. And they just love the blessings that they receive from God. They live in a wonderfully blessed land. They have great opportunities. Their neighbors around them are doing well. They're doing well financially. They may even consider themselves followers of Christ. They may consider that they are good and righteous people. But they've never made a covenant with God through Jesus Christ. And never obeyed the gospel. They've never been immersed in water for the forgiveness of their sins. They've just never done that. And they assume that everything's good with them. Well, Jesus had a word for those folks too in Matthew chapter 7 when he said, "Not everyone who says to me, 'Lord, Lord,' will enter the kingdom of heaven, but only those who do the will of my Father who is in heaven." It's not enough to want to be right with God. You actually have to take some steps. You have to do something about that and make the covenant. It's not enough just to consider yourself friends with Jesus. We're pals, me and Jesus. Well, that's just not good enough. He requires a covenant. He requires that we bind ourselves to Him, beginning with our immersion in water for the forgiveness of our sins. He has to be our Lord in truth and not just in words. If I'm right about Lot, and I'm willing to be taught, I promise you, I'm willing. But if I'm right about Lot, he lived his life on the basis of these assumptions. And he lost everything. All those blessings that he enjoyed were destroyed. He lost his wife as she looked back in the destruction of Sodom and Gomorrah. One of the most desperate things that happened, just a horrible end to this man. He wound up living in a cave with two incestuous daughters who got him drunk one after another, got him drunk so that they could become pregnant and keep the family name alive. That's the way he ended his life. That's the last we see of Lot, living in a cave. Sons slash grandsons, who, by the way, became the fathers of some of the worst enemies the Israelites ever had. Lot lived in the shadow of Abraham, lived in the shadow of Sodom and Gomorrah, lived in the shadow of his own failure. He should have lived in the light of God. Lot started well, but all of his faulty assumptions just led to disaster. We're called to live in truth and righteousness. And it's a struggle sometimes to do that in our world. But I have to remind you, our lives and other people's lives depend on it. We cannot have a good life without making a covenant with God through Jesus Christ. It's not enough to assume that we're buds with the Lord, we're pals. we need actually to make a covenant with Him and bind ourselves to Him in a lifelong relationship. We're going to sing an invitation song, give you an opportunity to respond to Jesus' invitation. Step out of the shadows and become one who dwells in the light of God. If you know that Jesus is the Son of God and you're willing to confess His name before men, if you're willing to repent of sin, stop doing the wrong thing, start doing the right thing in its place, that's what repentance really is. If you're willing to be immersed in water for the forgiveness of your sins and raised to walk in newness of life, you can do that this evening. Everything's prepared. You know that. It's all prepared. If you're a Christian, though, you've made the covenant with Christ, but you haven't been doing His will, and maybe you thought it's going to be okay somehow. It'll all work out somehow. Don't you realize you can squander all the blessings and throw it all away by ungodly conduct? You need to repent and come back to Him and truly give your life to Him. If you're subject to the Lord's invitation in any public way, we urge you to respond now while we stand and sing the song.